Buying a car can be a stressful experience, but TrueCar is changing car buying forever. Every day, TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features not available in all states. In the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three steps. Go to TrueCar.com, find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for, then register at TrueCar.com to see the upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. And the third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Every day, TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thank you so much for listening and sharing and telling a friend. We count on you. If you're listening right now and you're enjoying the sound of my nasally drone, tell a friend.
Share. Or if you're not enjoying that sound, but just enjoying the show.
That's right. Tell a friend. That's Dr. Drew. I'm Adam Carolla. We're good for what ails you, man. We got phone calls, and we'll probably mow through a few of those, and we'll get to those a little earlier and often.
Yeah.
I have a theory that I'm going to get to when we pot up this first call.
Okay.
And it's Solomon's. From 32 from Chicago.
Okay.
Solomon?
Yes, sir.
Hey now.
Hey now, man.
What's up?
Hi.
All right. Now, you have a question about the stoner's cough.
No, laugh.
Oh, stoner's laugh. Sorry.
Yeah.
The laugh and how consistently you can always tell. I've been listening to you guys for 15 years, and you can consistently tell. So I'm wondering if you've figured out or you know someone who's figured out a medical reason or some empirical evidence of why this is.
Well, I'll start as a layperson by saying pot is pot, and brains are brains, and lungs are lungs,
yes,
and throats are throats.
Okay.
You know, so why should it be any different? Back to my polar bear theory. Polar bears this food, would their BM be any different from bear to bear?
Or if it is different.
Once you had 100 polar bears, you'd know what it was like if you just fed them sprouted wheat, what their BM looked like, right?
Right. We call that clinical experience. The clinical experience is sort of the macro effect of something.
Yeah, for me, it would be – I would be more confused if it varied. You know what I mean?
Because it's a chemical, and it should have some effect, right?
It seems how our brains are all the same.
Yeah.
It should have the same effect on about everyone.
But he's not saying why is it the same. He's saying, you know, what is it that causes it? What causes the
right? Well, I'll answer the first part of the question now. Solomon,
yes,
I had this. I'm going to let Drew chew on this one for a second. But I had this thought.
Dig.
Lynette and I were with a couple. Some time ago, a year ago, doesn't matter who. And we don't know them well. And the woman in the couple laughed constantly, constantly laughed, but clearly with a smoker's hack.
Oh, jeez.
And then I said, as we were driving home, she was laughing when there was no reason to laugh. And it was a tell that she was a heavy smoker or at least an ex-heavy smoker or something. You know, that the smoker's hack laugh, right? And so we're kind of driving home and I was trying to go, if this is something that's a little bit embarrassing, it's a hack.
Yeah.
It's and you laugh all the time, and you can hear that cigarette smokers
yeah, yeah.
laugh hack all the time. Why are you laughing at everything when you shouldn't be laughing?
Why aren't you hiding that?
Why aren't you hiding it? And we started kind of thinking about it, and I think Lynette said, as a heavy ex-smoker, she probably wanted to hack. She wanted to cough. She wanted to hack, but couldn't, instead of hacking, turned it into a laugh.
So it's sort of an impulse.
So what I'm saying is everyone knows that heavy ex-smoker that does that and yeah. is always doing that?
Yeah.
The laugh, it's not that they're laughing all the time. It's that they're hacking all the time, and the laugh gets put over the hack to yeah. turn it into a non-hack.
Maybe. I don't know.
That's the only reason I
but
could
I,
think.
See, I don't know that a lot. I deal with a lot of ex-smokers over the years, and I don't know that they all laughed a lot.
They just did the hack.
They just care.
Well, this is a person who's probably, you know, with their family, with their children, and blah, 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 and not yeah, wanting, nobody
be.
Wants to be wise mommy hacking all the
right,
time.
Right. Could be. It's an interesting theory.
You'd rather have a mommy who was laughing all the time,
no,
wouldn't you?
For sure, yeah. Now, in this case, the pot makes you giggly, so you tend to be giggly. And I've noticed that pot laugh is worse when you are high. I mean, it's almost everybody has it when you're high. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
But people that are heavy smokers, it just kind of continues all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it even continues after they stop, long periods of time afterwards. And it's obviously some effect on the brain. I don't know what. I mean, some funny little thing.
Solomon?
Yes, sir.
You possess a lot of wisdom. What do you think?
The only theory I've seen that I think is that I can understand at least is they see shows or movies or other people laughing a certain way and they kind of inherit it from each other, and because they're such a tight knit group.
No.
Like a default. No?
No. There's a little Pineapple Express in there. Yeah.
A little maybe, but yeah. it persists for so long afterwards, and some of them are like accountants and lawyers and stuff, and they're still kind of, you can kind of hear remnants of it. It's like, well, what is that? I don't know.
I'll. Some of it is a all right, but there is.
But like
a,
you like, said, if you feed the polar bear a thing, its stool gets different. That's a biological thing.
Yeah, but I mean, there's certain like the black culture has its own way. Says police. Doesn't say police. Yeah. Says police. Everyone but, just says it because that's what everyone says.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
that's the community.
I,
you know?
I get you. I get you.
And. So if you're in this community, maybe that's
maybe.
Part of what
have
rubs
to, have
off.
You have to be proved otherwise, that's for sure. So
I own my own McDonald's in the neighborhood. Thanks, Almond.
Okay.
Thanks. I miss those old soul. Gary, you got to dig up a good soulful McDonald's commercial from like
McDonald's
the
70s.
From the 70s.
Yeah.
It was always great. They had it. It was.
Didn't Burger King have some of those too?
Yeah, Burger King probably said, but... But there was a whole kind of a, I don't know, I don't think history will be particularly kind to these spots.
Oh, no.
But they weren't overtly offensive or racist, you know.
In retrospect, they're...
No, they're doing a soul, they're doing an urban soul version of a McDonald's commercial.
Speaking of Burger King, do you know the Cheryl, did I show you Cheryl Errett was the Burger King girl? Did we go through this?
No.
We did. And Gary says, yes,
oh,
we
did. Okay. Where was I?
Well, you can show her that you can show it to him again.
Oh, you're talking about a psychiatrist?
Yeah, Cheryl.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I need comp.
Well, I used her name.
I know. Okay. I need a place.
Okay.
I need a job tacked on
got
to
it.
Somebody.
Got it.
Okay. Let's talk to John. 22.
Oh,
no,
was that him?
No. I'm just doing this, John. Oh, maybe it is him. All right.
He had a great question. Can we talk about it a
little bit?
Go ahead. He asked, I always talk about how humans recreate experiences. Even in the 1850s, Freud identified it as repetition compulsion.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked why. And nobody knows why. And no one really does any deep thinking about this, in my opinion. You know, why when you're traumatized in adulthood – wait a minute. I'm just looking
There's
at
two that. Guys named John.
Oh, I see. This is John from Seattle. No one really knows what would be adaptive. What would be the evolutionary advantage of having our biology such that when something awful happens to us in childhood, we recreate it in adulthood with relationships and attractions to people
right.
that are just like
just
the original perpetrators.
In a quick nutshell, your dad was an alcoholic. Now you've married an alcoholic.
Now you're attracted to alcoholics.
Your dad
exactly.
was physically abusive. Now you've married someone.
It's right. That's the big picture. And so what would be adaptive in that? I mean, you would think that, if anything, that would sort of be washed out of the evolutionary system, right?
Yes.
I have one theory in that it's a kind of memory. It's a kind of it's a lived memory rather than kind of a screen memory.
John's back on now from Seattle.
John, are you there?
Hey, guys. Yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
So, yeah. Hey, can I say this, though, Drew?
So we started talking about your question already. So I'm saying that my theory is that one of my theories is that it's a lived memory. It's an experiential memory that's in your body rather than a memory that's in your brain, your hippocampus, that you can recall.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
Maybe this is a chance to separate the wheat from the chaff. Terry Crews, who I spoke about on our last podcast, who's coming up tomorrow and take a knee, said, "I don't drink, I don't touch alcohol, I don't touch drugs." Then he went on to explain to me that his dad was an alcoholic. So in his brain, it didn't work that way. Mm-hmm. It worked quite the opposite way. He saw his dad drunk all the time and said, "That ain't going to be me." And that ain't going to be me, Gene, is fucking huge. We always talk about, you know, people need mentors. People need role models. People look up to. Very important to look down at a lot of people, too. I looked at my dad, who never drank. I just looked at him and went, "That ain't going to be me." Terry Crews looked at his dad, who did drink, and go, "That ain't going to be me."
Right.
I drink now. Terry Crews doesn't. I have 9 jobs. Terry Crews is 13. But the point is we both went, just take booze. My dad didn't touch a drop.
Yeah.
That would have required him getting off the sofa or driving to the liquor store doing something. Yeah. You know, that would have been something. It would have been alcoholism, but it still would have fallen under the heading of something.
Yes.
He would have had a title.
Yes.
I'm an alcoholic.
Active quality.
My name is Jim, and I'm an alcoholic. He was down for nothing.
Yeah.
So I drink a hell of a lot more than Terry Crews. My dad didn't drink. His dad, blah, blah. Either way, we both took our brains and turned this into
positive.
Right. This notion, and this is something I'd like to get across, you know, well, his dad survived the Depression, so of course he's a billionaire. Yeah, but there was a time when he had nothing. Look, he was bit by a dog when he was 4, so now he's scared of all. Knock it off. Mm. Get the fuck on with your shit. Yes, you were bit by a dog. Would we accept this? As I've said before, I was robbed by a Mexican at knife point when I was 14. That's why I get to hate all Mexicans? How would we accept that as a society?
Right.
No. You would say, that was an individual. Knock it off.
The problem is, let me tell you the problem. The problem is just exactly for the very reason I just described, which is that the phenomenon is in your body, not in your mind.
It's not my body. It's not Terry Crews' body.
But you don't have it for whatever reason. And so to get it out, to get the traumatic memory out of the body,
Terry Crews.
It's really hard to do that.
We have to sire a child.
And it's actually easier than we thought than some of the newer treatments.
Shit, I think I'm going to be a bottom.
Jesus. Freak Terry?
Well, someone's going to be a bottom. I think it'll be Terry.
That's what I'm saying.
And we're only 2 people in the room.
That's what I'm saying.
Keep going.
But it's not something that you can volitionally think your way out of. It's something you have to experience your way out of. And it's incremental. It's a small
thing.
Right.
But how do we?
See, people have to work at it. That's the point. It's like picking up the coffee mug. You just go, today, I'm going to try to tolerate being with a non-alcoholic.
But you want to talk, John. Thank you. Sorry, I stepped on.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the most important message we can send as a society, and it's a message that's never sent. All we do is we talk about, you know, the cycle of poverty and the systemic whatever. It's like, all right, that's a lot of replication. Let's figure out this one.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, AIDS is bad, but it pales in comparison to this problem. Many more lives lost to this problem, the cycle problem.
Well, it's an interesting thing because you're really talking about – I've been thinking a lot about this lately, strangely, what we call the human potential movement. Mm-hmm. How do you get people to fulfill their potential, to flourish?
Well, I'll tell you –
how do you get that? And it's not easy.
Can I go political on you for a second?
No.
Okay. Here goes. You tell me, John, if you agree. You're young. You're from Seattle. You sound whitish.
Sure.
You're probably fairly progressive. But you also have a good head on your shoulders, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, I listen to you guys, so.
Okay. Elizabeth Warren explaining to everyone over and over that the deck is stacked against you and the playing field is not level, and she wishes she could say it was, but it absolutely isn't, is not a step toward the light.
Yeah.
That is not a way to get people out of this cycle, by explaining to them that the game is rigged constantly.
You see this title here, too?
What, Elizabeth Warren?
Worth millions.
Oh, yeah.
A millionaire telling you that, too.
Well, no. You don't understand. She's better than you are.
Right.
She's a woman. She's 138th Comanche. She was oppressed and held down. She can do it. You can't.
Yeah.
You're mortal. You're human. The deck is stacked. How, John, can we get out of this cycle of whatever if Elizabeth Warren in the Huffington Post is constantly telling you the deck is stacked against you? It's impossible.
How do you get
I mean, you're making excuses.
Get Terry Crews to tell you, who cares what the deck is? Throw the deck out the fucking window and get to work.
Yeah.
That's what you need. That's the message.
The get to work part is, I think, a pretty important part that we've lost.
Don't hear Elizabeth Warren speaking so much about that. Why get to work? It's stacked against you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go, look, if I had a job.
Hold on a second.
Now, Matt.
Right.
If there was a fucking job and I was convinced that I would never, ever get a raise or a promotion, no matter how hard I worked or how worthy I was because I was white and male, I wouldn't go into work the next day. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Yeah, but
you should do motivational speaking.
Right. We're even doing worse than that. We're going, well, statistics show that the American dream is a myth. It just cannot happen. It will not happen to anybody. As opposed to going, you know what? We're doing a shitty job of making this happen. Let's get on it. Let's make it happen. It's a very different message.
Her with the fucking...
So, Dr. Drew, I have one more question as it pertains to... You said something about the body then when it comes to traumatic experience. Do you have any sort of literature or reading that you would kind of direct someone towards?
Oh, shitloads of it. The Vessel, anything by Bessel van der Kolk, V-A-N-D-E-R-K-O-L-K. He's got some lectures on iTunes U. Alan Shore, S-C-H-O-R-E. You can listen to a podcast, a couple podcasts.
You have podcasts with him, yeah.
Yeah, and Peter Fonagy. There's armies of people now out there working on this. But Bessel van der Kolk is sort of the international leader on
Mexican
this.
Mexican guy?
Yeah, of course. I got more to say, but you got to send some flowers.
No, I don't.
Oh, no, I got to send some flowers. But you said, do what you got to do.
All right. I want to talk about Cremo.
Okay.
Shaving, baby.
I'll send some shaving cream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somehow shave cream turned into shave foam.
Which is ridiculous. That's the 70s.
It's the 70s.
And then it became the shave petroleum that goes to foam.
That turns to foam.
Yeah.
But if you're thinking about it, when I get myself a slice of pie, I want some whipped cream on there, not foam.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying? I want mousse. I want cream.
When I use a brush and stuff, you use a cream. You don't use a foam.
Yep.
When there's too much foam, it's like, hey, it's no good.
So it's basically, you want a lubricant. You don't want a bunch of air attached to your face. You
it's
had
weird.
That before.
Yeah.
Right now, air on my face.
Yeah. Nor do I want Vaseline.
Not on Vaseline either.
Right?
No. You want it to be foam-free. You want it to be slick. It's got to come
Cremo.
In a tube, not in a can, and it'll glide very nicely. Cremo, give it a try. You'll get a better shave. That's it. Let's upgrade, people, and treat yourself right. Even, by the way, you don't go to the 7-Eleven, get a crappy cup of coffee that's just brown water, right? You get to treat yourself right. Get the good stuff, right? All right. Do a little better. You can get Cremo at Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS. It's got the red cap. It's got the white tube. Let's get off the foam and onto the cream there, people.
That's right. Reject the 70s.
All right. Drew,
I got a couple of things. Mm-hmm. And just continuing on this human potential discussion.
Yes.
They're beginning to think that some – you asked about, you know, you and Terry versus other people that keep reenacting. There's a literature out there, and I don't know if necessarily this helps explain what you're talking about. But it's sort of thought of as the dandelion and the orchid phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are dandelions, like they'll grow anywhere. In the cement, in the desert, the dandelions grow.
They'll
grow the same
through,
everywhere.
Yeah.
And some people are orchids.
Well, they're a weed.
Yeah.
I just say the weed versus the orchid.
All right, but the weed versus the orchid. And the orchids, you need the right environment, the right sun, the humidity, just or else you got a mess.
Ironically, the orchids smoke the most weed, but go ahead.
But so the point is that
so
makes,
one is
genetics makes
one is a mutt
yeah.
that can live dumpster to dumpster and will thrive eventually
yeah.
wherever you put it, and the other is a hothouse flower.
I do believe most people are hothouse flowers. I think that's my sense, but maybe not. We're sort of looking at that now. Let's put it that way.
Well, couple of things. First off, if you live in a hot house, it's even if you're the weed, well, I'll put it to you this way. There's some weeds that cannot be stopped.
Right.
You know, no one was ever going to stop Madonna.
Right.
No one was ever going to stop Elon Musk. You're never going to stop those people. Just not.
Yeah.
But, and maybe not Dr. Drew, they're not that, but they're people that could go weed
yeah.
or could go orchid.
I agree, yes.
Don't put them in the greenhouse.
Yeah.
When you put them in the greenhouse, they go all orchid on you.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying.
Okay, got it. That's a good, I like it. You want them to grow like a weed.
I want them to grow like a weed. I want them to feel like a weed, even when they're living in the greenhouse.
Yeah, I get it.
And I've seen it. You've seen it. We've all seen it.
Hold on.
Thank you. I have seen it with a lot of my successful friends. Drew, we shall not mention any names, but we will give knowing nods. As the male...
You guys could say my name.
Your parents were there.
Max Zapata. As the male becomes more successful and his greenhouse becomes larger,
yeah.
his wife becomes more of an orchid. She who formerly...
Back to that.
Hold on a
That's
second.
That's hysterical.
But think about it.
Yeah.
She who formerly had a job.
Yeah.
She who formerly had a bunch of responsibilities and a bunch of get up and get, you know, 9-to-5 shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You've seen all the movies.
Yeah.
Hustling Up.
Yeah.
Devil Wears Prada. She who was formerly that
yeah.
has now been orchidized. Understand?
I do.
Because now you haven't because you're paying the heating bill in the fucking greenhouse.
Right.
And you realize, oh, shit, everything in that greenhouse is going to die if you don't go hit the road this weekend.
Yeah.
But the person living has turned, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about I have seen this
yeah.
with couples that I've known for a long time. And it can work the other way. The woman can go out and whatever and orchidize the guy.
Got it.
Just 1 week, I'd like to try it. But either way, I've certainly heard of and seen examples where...
Strangely enough, the word orchiectomy means taking off the testes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. You've never seen Drew more pleased with himself. He is fucking brimming.
I've never seen you more
shining like a
new dime. I've never seen you more pleased with me.
I've never been more pleased with a human being. What I'm saying is
yeah.
as the person that was formerly the weed,
yeah.
not the Madonna weed,
yeah,
never
yeah.
going to stop the Madonna weed,
right.
but the could go either
the
way
between,
weed
yeah.
got shoved into the greenhouse,
yeah.
they lost a little that eye of the weed.
And
I the weeder.
So what you're saying is legalize pot? That's the argument?
What I'm saying to people is it's up to you to be hungry even if you constantly feel full. It's up to you to be a little bit cold even if you're warm.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
There is a biology that too.
Be on your feet even if you're feeling a little tired.
Yeah.
That because we're marching toward a place in society where we're all going to sort of have some kind of greenhouse.
Yeah.
Or at least there'll be a greenhouse for 90% of society and the 10% of the weeds are going to be killing themselves trying to pay for the fucking 90% of the people that are living in the fucking greenhouse.
Yeah. Now here's the other thing. This is a little as long as we're talking about Dandelion of the Weeds, let me get this out of the way first because I'm thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Books.com, baby. Mm. And then I'm going to explain something to you.
Ain't no weed.
Modern rustic bouquets. Flowers cut the day you order them so they're get them sooner and they last longer. It's grown in the side of an active volcano, shipped directly from Ecuador. Closer to Ecuador means, because of course by the equator there, next more sun. Sustainable, eco-friendly farms. You can feel good about shopping at the Books. It's a flat pricing. There's no upsells. It's not like you're getting in there going, have these, and then you see what you're ordering for the $12. Like, oh, no, I got to, my wife's going to kill me.
Look, whether it's get a huge floral bouquet for $9 or clean any three rooms in your house with the carpet cleaning van for
right.
$18. Do the math, people.
It's not right. It's not what it's going to be.
It can't be.
Right. So there's no upsells here, no hidden cost, always free shipping. The pictures you see on the website is precisely what will arrive at your shipping site, at your door, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Not too early to start thinking about Valentine's Day, guys. 15% off the visit to TheBooks, TheBooks.com. TheBooks.com, 15% off when you use the promo code DrewAdam. Deal expires January 27th. That is TheBooks.com, promo code DrewAdam. So here's what I get into a little bit. This is This is kind of a complicated topic. I've been thinking a lot about this. The issue of the repetition compulsion and the fact that it's a kind of a memory. And one thing that I've been obsessed with is why humans do rituals repetitively. You know, what are rituals? Why do they do that? And I sort of
give us an example,
like why the why the Jews study do Passover rituals every year,
and it's okay. Talking about a ritual.
They reenact and humans do rituals in other contexts too, but you know, they're rituals where they're reenacting historical events from 3,000 years ago. I mean, what makes them
right.
What makes them do that?
Mm-hmm.
And then you think about the events that they're ritualizing. Typically, like what the Christians do, they're eating the blood and they're eating the drinking the blood, eating the flesh. What?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
Zombie ritual.
And usually, what it comes down to was a group that was super traumatized by something. Exodus into the desert. Your leader is killed in front of you. You know, some major trauma,
mm-hmm.
and the group sort of remembers that trauma through ritual reenactments.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a trauma, and if it was an experience that significantly could impact the evolutionary success of the group,
mm-hmm.
the group would want to remember that.
Right.
So it makes sense to me that it's if they told the story over and over, it would never stay the same. It would sort of become a myth. It would become like a fairy tale eventually.
It needs to be reenacted.
The reenactment assures the memory staying the same.
Right.
That we remember exactly what happened because every year we do the behaviors that reenact the – it's not a conscious thing, but it's a group
right.
memory
but
of a sort.
We will physically make – we will construct a menorah. We will put a candle in it. There'll never be – well, is it 8 candles? Is it 9 candles?
And was it with Maccabees, was it? Who were those guys? And they had a light, a flashlight? How many
– yeah. There. Yeah. We will construct a bunch of things. We'll leave a chair open for Elijah and we'll do all that shit. And we'll – it's not going to be he said, she said or a game of operator.
Yeah.
It's going to be this mechanical – Let me say something that's interesting.
But it's reenacted compulsively. It's not like
right.
they're thinking it through. It's like we're doing that.
But
every year.
It's sort of like famously when you put your keys by your flu vaccination in the refrigerator. The flu vaccine needed to be refrigerated. Dr. Drew knew he was going to walk out of the studio, make a right, go to his car, and hustle to his next job, and he would leave it behind. So he put his keys on it. All right, you physically did something.
Yeah.
To do something because you didn't leave it up to I better remember this time next year to
it's a physical and I would even say like think about what prehistoric man did. He reenacted rituals around dangerous animals,
right?
You know, to remind the group that we're not going to tell you a story about it. We're going to show you,
right?
And we're going to do it compulsively. Our brain tells us to do that over and over again. So I think some of this reenactment compulsion that people do of their childhood traumas may be in us to help protect the group in some weird way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I'm sort of thinking, you think, why would people evolve that way? Well, maybe this is a force that helped us evolve. And I think I keep looking at the Aztecs as the biggest example of traumatic ritual. Mm-hmm. I mean, we cut somebody's heart out and we throw it down the stairs. Mm-hmm. Okay, kids, gather together. Take a look. Everybody got it?
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit. And that's how you traumatize a group and make them reenact stuff over and over again. They're going to do that again because the sun won't come up tomorrow if I don't do this or something horrible is going to happen. You know, they sort of have a feeling that something bad's going to happen if they don't reenact it.
I'd like to be interesting to find out percentage-wise atheists versus religious people and reenactments not of religious rituals but of life traumas and things like that.
I'm sure a lot of families do it. Families reenact.
No, I get it, but see, I'm an atheist.
Yeah.
So whatever it is my dad did or my mom did or didn't do, I don't look at it as – it's neither here nor there
to me.
Oh, you're
saying more likely to reenact?
Less likely to reenact because I'm an atheist.
Yeah, but you're already somebody not – we've already established you're not somebody that reenacts. You go the other way.
I know, but what I'm saying is the fact that I don't have religion means I don't have a good base for reenactments. Which I cannot transfer. I don't transfer to other realms.
I got to think about that.
About it.
Yeah, what the
I got to think about it too.
Natural.
I don't know what it means. All I know is I don't look at myself as a part of any group or any family or any religion.
No, but listen.
I can go happily I can go happily through my life and just do whatever I want to do.
I will tell you that people that do. I don't know if this is true or not, but I suspect that people that do reenactments sort of feel that comes from the outside in rather than the inside to behavior.
Right.
And so maybe that sort of predisposes them to thinking that. I don't know. All right,
I'm just saying, everybody, don't be in a group. Don't reenact. Just get the fuck on with it. All right. Do we have our – by the way, Gary dug up a good black McDonald's commercial from the 70s.
McDonald's,
sorry.
Let's hear it.
Big Mac, fillet of fish, quarter pound of french fries, icy cold, big shake, sundae,
double dutch.
Big Mac, fillet of fish, quarter pound of french fries, icy cold, big shake, sundae, apple pie.
Has a Chew ever successfully pulled off double dutch?
Positive commercial.
Yeah.
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 Makes me smile.
All right.
Whatever.
You didn't answer my question about Jews and double dutch.
No.
Okay.
Mike Lynch showed me this ad a couple years ago that's on the screen right now, and it's pretty funny. It's from 1976.
Dinner timing.
Dinner timing at McDonald's.
Oh,
McDonald's. Sorry.
Are you able to see that, Drew? Are you able to read the bottom?
When you're looking for a different place to have dinner, check out McDonald's. You don't have to get dressed up. There's no lipping.
Tipping.
No tipping. Oh. And the kids love it. You can relax and get down with good food that won't keep you waiting. Dinner timing or any timing, going out is easy at McDonald's. We do it all for you. But you remember you forgot the theory. People forget the theory of fast food was, you know, dinner. Go out. Do something.
Oh.
Yeah.
By the way, fast food and McDonald's and beyond was a trip out.
Yeah.
That was going out to eat.
Event,
that was not something you passed by at noon and grabbed.
It was not fast food to begin with. It was fun food kind of.
Yeah, so we're going out to a place with a lot of burnt orange.
Strangely, it was more orange and yellow. than you farm in the avocado typically. That was at home.
That was at home. Hunter.
Hey.
Hunter. Yeah, you came in last week.
Hunter's back in New York. Loving that cold, I bet, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not too bad. I actually really first wanted to thank you guys. Last week was such a thrill. And now I finally get to ask my dating question. I wanted to get your
hold
guys.
Hold on a second.
Hold
Drew,
on, Hunter.
Please. Every time some jack-off Yahoo comes up to you at some event and goes, hey, man, I'm a big fan. Mind if I come by Adam's place? Yeah, come on down. Go.
Come on. Let one at a time come visit, no?
I'm fine, but understand, this is my warehouse.
Should I call you and ask? Or do I
shoot an email. There's somebody, Matt, just every other week.
No, I usually I'm not throwing you guys under the bus.
You gave Matt and Gary's email to the guy or whatever and said, make it happen. But the point is...
That's what I do.
Yeah, this is my house, though, basically.
I'll drink my coffee and leave. I'll call you if
you want. I don't want you to call me.
I contribute to your house.
Okay. Look, we're all fine with this, too. I'm just saying, not everybody has to swing on by and case my joint. Hunter?
Yes, Adam.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I appreciate being let into your house.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask your guys' opinion about the dating app Tinder. I'm a fan. I think it's fun. I think it's easy. But I wanted to know if you guys think that it could potentially jeopardize the future development and evolution of relationships because it is kind of inorganic. It's rather unconventional. What do you guys think?
I don't know how Tinder works.
Tinder, you just look at people's pictures and if they like you, they hook you up and you go meet them. And it's typically for sex. I mean, that's the expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And women sort of – Chris is smiling knowingly. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually women sort of kind of put up with it, strangely. Women sometimes will adjust to male priorities because other women do it. So to compete, they'll go do it too.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Which is sort of ridiculous.
But. Well, let me say this, Hunter. I believe that back in the day, you'd go out, you'd kick a ball around, you'd throw a ball around, you'd wrestle.
Yeah.
By the way, all I fucking did was wrestle with my friends.
Because you were bigger.
Our number one activity for me and my friends, age, 5 and a half or six through age 17, was wrestling. I'm always kind of confused when I look out in the backyard and my son is standing there with his 8-year-old friend, and they're just sort of standing there, and they're throwing something back and forth. They're doing something. I'm like, why hasn't somebody got somebody in a headlock?
Why isn't there any aggression here?
There's nobody's in a headlock. Okay. That's now,
dig.
You don't go outside anymore. You sit and play video games, and we all know what happens when you sit and play video games instead of go outside and wrestle. Drew's looking at his phone.
No, I have an urgent thing here.
An urgent thing?
Yeah. Go ahead. Right. Listen.
No, I'll talk to Hunter about something else. Hunter?
Yes, sir.
You and I have to talk about something else Drew, until I have his 100% focus on me, okay?
Okay.
You got it.
Okay. By the time people hear this, not both games will be over, but let's pick the winners for the playoff games this weekend.
Excellent. I'd love to.
Okay. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Green Bay.
That's nice. I like that.
They are dogs to the Seahawks. They're playing where the 12th man lives.
Yeah.
Joe Coy will be there with his child. But God love, I love me some Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Oh, you done, Drew?
Yeah.
All right. And then I'll take the Pats. Okay. All right. Now, Drew.
Yeah.
So your muscles atrophy because you're playing video games and simulating instead of out playing the actual game outside.
Right.
Then we used to have to date. You couldn't simulate. You had to go out.
Go through the process.
You had to go. Yeah. There's a physical atrophying, and then there's an emotional, mental, psychological atrophying that goes on, which is I don't have to go to the bar, muster the courage, go talk to someone. And by the way, bring my A game because I got a little 30-second window here.
Yeah.
You know. Instead, I'll go online, and I'll do it that way. I could argue that whatever those muscles, they're not muscles, but they're skills,
yeah.
Well, that skill set would atrophy. It would have to atrophy.
It will, however, a new set will emerge as you have to present yourself quickly to a new person.
Mm-hmm.
And the market aspect, you know, the market mm-hmm. efficiency is enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of a market component to people dating.
Mm-hmm.
So who are we to say that improving market efficiency might not improve relationships? I think the problem is porn and Tinder.
Mm.
That's the dangerous combo.
Mm.
That people expect, like, these rapid hookups and sort of pornography.
Oh, because they're used to porn,
yeah.
I can tell you what young Hunter can avoid via the Tinder. You can avoid this exchange I had when I was 23, when I was at a bar and there was a couple of ladies sitting at a table, and I walked up to them and I said, "Mind if I have a seat?" And they looked up and they said, "Why?" You can avoid that super uncomfortable exchange.
Yeah, maybe it'll be people you traumatize less. Maybe they'll be healthier.
By the way, there is nothing worse than when you've sized up the woman at the bar or the women at the bar and you went, "Well, there's a table of nines.
Yeah.
I don't want to go get shot down over there, but there's a couple four and a halves. They'll be dying for a little attention." When you get the Y from the four and a halves,
that's when you've arrived.
You fucking
time to go home.
It's time to fucking pack it in. All right. We got more questions.
Yeah.
Who do you want to talk to?
Five.
All right. Let's talk to John from Honolulu.
Adam.
Carolla. Yeah. Thank you.
Doctor.
Drew-hoo. He's not going to
Marco.
Do it.
Thank you for my call, guys.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Last month, I had a seizure while falling asleep, and I knew this would happen because that day...
We can't hear you.
Up.
Wait. Speak up louder. Get into your phone. Go ahead.
All right.
I was on speaker.
So, last month, I had a seizure, and I knew this would happen because that day, I woke up an hour early with a sudden charge, a twitch in my right foot. This is... call him Aura, I think, kind of the
precursor. Are you talking
through
Stephen Hawking's thing?
Yeah, no, that was a focal motor seizure. It's not an aura. Aura is when you kind of see things and feel things, that something's about to happen. When you have an actual motor movement, that's a focal motor seizure.
I see. Well, I knew that this would happen because I had a loss of appetite, and that's kind of the biggest indication that I know I would have a seizure that day. Biggest thing is that it happened 16 hours after I felt this aura or whatever you called it. And before this, the previous seizure I had was in late July. And in between time, late July and last month, mid-December, I had draped curtains over my blinds, and that essentially made my room pitch black while falling asleep, and that totally mitigated my problem, and that made my
sleep that much better
tenfold.
John,
hold on a second. What's up with your cadence? Something's very interesting about your cadence.
You think so?
Yeah. Is there a nationality? Is there a second language? Is there something? I'm trying to get some explanation. Tell me about yourself.
I'm Filipino.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Chris knew that immediately.
I knew there was a problem. I always sense danger. You know Max Zapata?
Who doesn't?
He's my Filipino brethren, right? My Pinoy brother.
Are you a nurse?
No, I work for a...
Nurse?
An education nonprofit company.
He's either a nurse or a disgrace.
Sure. Chris's mom
How
is super...
How dare you?
She called in. She said she's mad that you're not a nurse. Okay, so there's a little language here, because there's a... or something. There's a weird staccato
cadence. You talking like this?
It's like you're having conversations on a computer or something. Do you spend tons of time on a computer?
I spend less time on the computer now than before.
All right, what is your question? What's the question?
Well, Drew, I want to know what are the causes of these kinds of seizures and what can I do more to prevent it from happening?
Hold on a second.
If you were a nurse, like your mom told you, you wouldn't know.
That's right. Are you saying you've had seizures and you've not had a workup?
No. I believe these things are kind of like isolated incidents.
John, most common reason for seizure, sudden onset seizure in a 20-year-old would be brain tumor. So let's go get this evaluated. There also can be cysticercosis. There can be infections. There can be – it can be just isolated epilepsy. It can be drugs. It can be medication. It can be infections. But it is a medical problem, and it needs to be evaluated and then treated. There's dozens of seizure medications that suppress them. You will eventually have generalized seizures, it sounds like. I mean, you could potentially have. That could happen while you're driving. You could fall down and really hurt yourself. I mean, this needs to be evaluated immediately.
All right, John. Go to a doctor.
Immediately. No fooling. You need an MRI, an EEG. This is no fooling right now.
All right. We got a question. You know, we got a question about homework. You know, let's talk then. I got to tell you, I was very disappointed when I talked to my son this morning when I was driving him to school. This morning, by the way, is earlier this week. It's not Sunday. All right. Gary, I think you're incorrect there. Or maybe not. LifeLock, baby. Love me some LifeLock Ultimate, man. I got LifeLock Ultimate. Mm-hmm. I use it. My kids have it. Why not? If you have a Social Security number.
You need it.
You need it.
Yeah.
Drew, what do you know?
I know you don't need to change your life. You just need to help protect yourself with LifeLock Ultimate. You can visit LifeLock.com, enter the promo code Drew, and you'll save 10% on your LifeLock Ultimate membership.
You just got to do it. I mean, the cops, by the way, good luck with the cops. They're not going to do anything to protect you. By the way, Sony can't do anything to protect themselves.
Yeah, right.
You better take this one on. And this is – it's kind of funny. Actually, I was watching Bill Maher's show the other night, and he said, you know, crime is down, like street crime.
Right.
Street crime is down.
It's gone on the internet?
Well, he said, because no one's walking around with money in their pocket anymore. Why go bonk someone over the head and steal their wallet? There's nothing in it.
Right. Interesting.
It's all the criminals are now all on their computer stealing your identity.
That's interesting.
No one's walking around with a wad of cash anymore. There's nothing nothing of value. Your watch is worth $4.
Right. Only sort of drug addicts do that out of desperation at the moment.
Right. Yeah. The criminals are home trying to steal your identity right now. That's why you need LifeLock Ultimate Plus. Again, Drew, where should they go if they want to sign up?
LifeLock.com, promo code Drew. You'll save 10%. The promo code is Drew at LifeLock.com. Network does not cover all transactions.
All right. Now, the super depressing conversation I had with my son this morning is I was driving him to school, and I said, so what's on tap for this afternoon? Now, Mama's out of town. Nanny Olga's going to pick him up from school. Daddy's going to be at work. What are we doing after school? Not interested, by the way. Just making a little small talk.
Sure.
Thinking, what would a good dad do at this point?
You're pretending as though you were a good dad.
That's right. Act as if. My son just said very casually, well, I'll go to school and then I'll come home and just do homework. And I said, yeah, but what between that and that? And he said, no, I think I'll just come home and do homework. He was very matter of fact about it. He was up till 10 o'clock doing his homework last night. He's slow, thus that.
And he's slow speed wise at doing his homework, not slow intellectually.
Could be both.
No, he's not.
All right. Now, he's a very sharp kid. The point is this. I thought, oh, great, I'm dropping him off at this place where he's going to sit there and go to school for 7 or 8 hours, and then he can look forward to coming home and doing more of the shit he was supposed to be doing at this place.
No,
fuck
listen.
That.
No, no, listen. What
listen
he's doing at the
nothing.
Place is getting the basics that he applies
blah,
during homework and practice.
Blah, 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 blah,
it's like
blah.
Saying it's like saying a piano lesson and practicing. Are you
no.
fucking kidding me?
Not if you did eight hours of fucking piano lessons every fucking day.
You'd only do 1 hour a day, you'd still be practicing, and then you're doing
no,
your
you're
math,
doing
and
8 hours.
English,
no.
and each of these things
Jesus
need to be practiced.
Christ. Poor fucking kid.
They need to practice.
He needs to fucking wrestle.
Imagine what you
he
would
needs
have been.
To wrestle a Filipino
Imagine
nurse.
You'd be ruling the world if you'd had a proper education.
My lack of education has helped me. How dare you? Fucking homework.
That coffee mug experience would have been he's translated done. Into the solution.
He
of the
can
Schrodinger
look forward
equation.
To more of the shit he's doing.
It would have helped humanity
when he gets home. And by the way, can I say this? It's a fucking massive burden on the motherfucking family. Think about it.
But that's your job, is to get them into the into successfully into a productive
Hold
life.
Hold on, Drew.
It takes a long time.
You're creating a gap.
Huh? Oh, you mean the haves and have-nots?
Well, no. Look. Here's the deal.
Dig.
Dig. My fucking wife is in Arizona at the fucking Bob Bondurant school, killing some fucking fossil fuel and yeah. burning some vulcanized rubber off a Corvette.
Yeah.
I'm watching a 60-inch television getting drunk in the next room.
Fueled by coal.
Olga, the person I pay, is sitting with Sonny till 10 o'clock at night finishing his homework. Now, what's the single mom supposed to do? She's working two jobs. She has five kids. She's supposed to do the homework? Oh, let her hire a nanny. What? She's poor. Well, what about the husband? He's in Florida. Well, now we got a little gap growing, don't we?
Yeah. Absolutely. A
little gap.
You made a case for families staying together is what you made a case
right.
for.
But we've agreed that that's not going to happen.
I haven't agreed to that.
You haven't, but everyone else has.
Yeah.
So now we have inequality. Why? Because of homework.
Homework is the cause of the problem.
Well, shall I reverse?
What about when the gap
shall I reverse engineer this motherfucker
well,
again
they,
for you, Dodo?
So if we apply that theory to the United States, then a gap's going to open up between us and South Korea. That's going to be the size of the fucking.
Yeah, well, that's already happening. But
it's going to get a lot bigger if you.
It'll be bigger than the prime meridian. Maybe I did do some homework, bitch.
Stamps.com, my friend. Stamps.com. Don't waste time with the post office. Don't waste money leasing a postage meter. Use your own computer. Buy or print official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Using stamps here forever, as you guys well know. Special offer right now. Use our promo code ADS. It's stamps.com, bitch. No, these are our people. New Year's resolution. Maximize every minute and every dollar for your small business. Do not go to the post office. There's no reason for it. Special offer. Promo code ADS for the no-risk trial. $110 bonus includes the digital scale. Allows you to weigh any letter or package. Get precisely the right postage. No guessing involved. And then up to $55 of that is free. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in ADS. A little microphone up at the top of the homepage there. ADS, stamps.com, promo code ADS. I got a couple things. We run out of time. Why the fuck that sweater? It's like I'm staring at that for 2 hours, for, you know, all morning, going, what the fuck is with that? It's clothing. You're wearing clothing.
I was cleaning out my closet during the Christmas break because I've just first time I've ever been home for 10 days straight.
I just
thought I got a bunch of shit piled up here that no one else knows what to do with. And I just started digging shit out.
Yeah.
And as I dug stuff out, by the way, if anyone ever puts furniture in their bedroom other than like a bed and an end table, it ends up becoming a large sort of hamper. Like you end up just splaying everything out on it. You think you're putting that lounge over there that you're going to go sit on that ottoman and read a book one Sunday. It's like, it's covered. It just gets covered in your shit.
Yeah.
So it's a bunch of sweaters and sweatpants and shit and trying to make I make a doggy bag and bring shit to guys at the shop and go, here's some t-shirts and some sweaters or whatever. So this just happened to be Yeah, one of the things. I dug out a red sweater for Christmas, and I've worn it every single day for like 2 weeks. So I said, you know, I got to switch it up.
Oh, it's just confusing. I've never seen you wear like a piece of clothing.
Thank you.
Another question. My sensibilities were deeply violated by this parking citation.
Mm-hmm.
Is this yours?
No, that's Gary's.
Gary? A citation for backing into a space?
That's correct.
For being parked backwards in a parking space.
I was not heading to the spot.
Dr. Drew, who's the king of backing into spaces for maximum efficiency.
Every bone in my body is disturbed by this. I'm troubled.
Where was this?
Newport Beach.
Now, I imagine that they don't want you backing in.
$42.
Here's what it is. Here's how it works. Gary, you stop me if I'm wrong. You pay for the city parking structure. You know, you pay him the $2.50 every 15 minutes or whatever it is, or the meter or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you pull in there. Now, that's not good. By the way, here's how the fucking city works. The city doesn't look at it as, okay, nice, you've paid us. Here's a citizen we've successfully removed some money from. By the way, one could argue the entire notion of parking meters and the city charge, the city. You know, look, it's one thing if you're an entrepreneur and you want to buy a fucking parking lot in Midtown Manhattan and put a bunch of those car stackers in. Yep. It's at tens of thousands of dollars it costs you, and then charge people $23 a day who are working. So be it.
Yeah.
The city... That shit we already paid for. That's our street.
You paid for it. We're going to shake you down.
I'm just saying. I don't know how the founding fathers would be just over the principle of a parking meter. Even if they're talking about parking your horse and carriage here, it'd be like, well, this is our street. Who maintains the street?
And this gentleman that we pay is going to ask me for more money?
Right.
This gentleman who I hire for my community safety is going to come around and shake down more coin from my body?
That concept is fucking flawed enough. But then the fact, once you pull into the city parking place, at least in Santa Monica, and it works everywhere this way, now you're captive. So now what we can do is, now that we're all together under the same concrete roof that we've all paid for, we can send the meter cunt in, and he or she can go around and now give you individual tickets, because now we're all under one tent here. We can come for expired license plate, no front license plate, expired tab, you know, what have
you. We'll get you.
We'll see.
We'll upsell you.
Are you
a taxpayer?
Yeah. You're a taxpayer.
Are you homeless? Which is it?
Yeah. If you're homeless, do whatever you want.
Okay. Got it.
All right. So that's what we shall do. So I'm guessing Gary backed in, and I'm guessing the rule is this. They'd like to ding you for no front license plate. And when you... Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. Front license plate. They'd like to ding you for expired tabs.
Oh,
and
so
the
they
tabs
can't see them.
Are on the back license plate, not so much on the front.
That's why they want you heading in.
They want you heading in so that they can conveniently drive between the cars and look for tabs that are expired. That's why.
Came into focus. Thank you.
That is terrible.
Does that make sense to you, Gary?
Yeah. I've also heard in telling this story that in a lot of places they have that preventative measure because...
preventative measure.
And I've heard that this is mostly with older cars, but if they're trying to repossess a car or tow it, it can be harder if it's back.
Because it hits the...
it's just easier to pull up behind the car. All right, look. Either way, let's not pay it. Here's the one thing I've learned about the system.
By the way, this was a city parking lot that was also metered.
Right.
The pay by the minute
and the taxes. Yeah.
And it's a public city lot.
It's not, it's dawning on me that it's not worth participating anymore. That when.
It's a conscientious objector.
No, what I'm saying is playing by the rules just gets you punished now. You're better off just going, fuck it. Like, you know, applying for a business license and setting up this and that. Fuck it. Just grab some oranges and go sell them. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. I've realized that they can't keep up with all the people, so just fucking don't do it.
Yeah.
Just you get a parking ticket, don't pay it. Just fucking don't pay it. They don't have the manpower, the resources. They can't fucking figure it out anymore. They've overreached so far that they literally, it's like the red light camera tickets. Like everyone just stopped paying them, and they couldn't. There used to be a way that they could do it, which is if everybody in your society got 1.3 chicken shit tickets every 5 years they're on the road, they could keep up with that. But if you're getting 7.9 chicken shit tickets for every 5 years you're on the road, they can't keep up with their own fucking demand.
Yeah.
They can't. Too many red light. They take the red light cameras. They miscalibrate them. So they go off a couple of tenths of a second too early. Then everyone gets flooded with fucking tickets. And they can't. How could they? Well, first off, they're fuck ups, right? So even their own shit, they're going to fuck up when they attempt to enforce it. They've just given out 200,000 red light tickets in the last quarter. Yeah. How are they going to enforce that?
Yeah, even if they could keep up.
They're going to go to your house, knock on the door, send you a letter. They're too big a fuck up to keep up their own fucking greed. So fuck them. Just don't pay them.
And
just
one
everyone
last thing.
Just fucking don't do it.
I'm now greeted at restaurants and in the street by what I do now.
Ah.
It has become a thing.
I love it. We now got to have it. We got to get a ringtone, Gary.
Yeah.
What I do now has got to be a ringtone, and Natalia wants one too, by the way.
Because
tired of Sony.
I'm literally, literally greeted that way now.
All right. Just because I don't want to be rude, I don't have any time. Bill, Philadelphia.
Oh.
Oh. All right.
Thank God.
Son, it's about homework. I think he knows my feelings about that.
Yeah.
Someone wants to talk about cars that are driverless.
Social implications of driverless cars.
That's Mike from Philly. As well, two Philly guys. Mike, I don't claim to know the social implications of that.
I don't either.
I do know that most of traffic is caused by people.
Yeah.
If you just think about...
Well, like, there may not be slowdowns when things...
Well, my whole point is this. Mike August and I get into this every time we drive to Irvine.
Yeah.
We're sitting in the middle of the fucking 5 freeway at 6:10 in the evening, and we're physically stopped. We're physically stopped.
Yeah.
Now, when you're on a street and you're physically stopped, you go, well, there's a red light somewhere.
Yeah.
That's red, and that's why I'm physically stopped. But we're on this thing that is basically like a blood vessel. It's like it's a vessel,
and it just goes for eternity, and
there are no signals on it. It's just people getting off and people getting on. Why we physically have we physically come to a stop? Well, and Mike says we could all just go 70 at the same time if we needed to.
Not only that, people go, well, it narrowed. That's what it narrowed down. What do you think happens to fluid when it narrows down?
It speeds up.
It speeds up.
That's right. Good point. Hold on. I'm sniffing for you. All right. Irvine, improv. That's right. Thursday, February 12th. Oh, there'll be the commute. Have fun. Come on out. See the live show. Also, Take a Knee with Terry Crews. Highly recommend coming up. You can get AdamCarolla.com. Go to Adam and Drew Show and support us, man. Adam and DrDrewShow.com. That's Adam and DrDrewShow.com. Also, Dr. Drew, January 31st at the Melrose Improv. Always easy on the eyes, number one, but always a gentle creature who will sign autographs and meet you afterward and be good for everything that ails you. All right, so Amazon and PayPal and all the happy stuff that keeps the pirate ship afloat. Until next time, it's Adam Crowe for Dr. Drew, Chris Maxpata, and Gary Haftard saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.